With the power of Tandem HR, you are in the fast lane on Main Street with Get Down to Business with Shalom Klein, the show for business and jobs. Now, the champion of networking, the advocate of jobs, the guru of business, your host, Shalom Klein.
Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Keep your eyes on the stars and your feet on the ground." We are all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. In business, we talk a lot about business here. You're on with Get Down to Business, and I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download podcasts from Get Down to Business on my website at shalomklein.com. And while you are there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Shalom Klein. It's going to be a jam-packed week of content and information you won't want to miss a minute of. It's a live show this week. It's all about outreach, and you could call us with your questions at 312-642-5600. Once again, that number, 312-642-5600. We're going to be joined by guests, the founders of Energy Simply, Cornell Wilson, Chris Everett, and Chaim Shapiro, and we will be sharing tips for appointment setting and meeting setting at the end of the program. Once again, it's a live show. You won't want to miss a minute of it. You could call us at 312-642-5600. As promised, I've got the founders of a new company called Energy Simply on the line with me. These guys are really making a lot of progress in their efforts to lower the price of energy for many consumers. And there's probably not many things that our listeners can go without, and energy, electricity is one of them. So we've got Gideon, Rob, and Jordan on the line with me. Gideon, I'll turn it over to you. Gideon, tell us how Energy Simply got started.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much, Shalom, for having us on. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in the studio, but with this crazy Chicago weather, I appreciate the opportunity to call in. So I'm here with Jordan and Rob, as you mentioned, and Energy Simply, our website is www.energysimp.ly. The way we got started is Jordan and Rob and I actually knew each other. We were fraternity brothers in college in AEPI. And every Thanksgiving, we get together for a little reunion.
Gold and blue, baby. Gold and blue.
Yeah, absolutely. The last few years, we've kind of been brainstorming every Thanksgiving when we're together for our little reunion, thinking, you know, how can we start something that we can work on together, you know, a small business, an entrepreneurial endeavor. And, you know, one of the things that popped into my mind, which I found that Jordan and Rob both had thought about as well, was the way that people buy their electricity. And so in Illinois and a handful of other states, Texas being a great market, energy is deregulated. So that means that you can buy your electricity from just about any of dozens of providers. But the question in my mind is, I was trying to figure out, okay, I want green energy, I want the cheapest. How the heck do I, you know, buy this energy in a way that is the cheapest, the greenest, but I don't get slapped with some kind of hidden fee? I don't, you know, fall into the trap of getting a cheap introductory rate and then my price goes up 3 months later. I figured we could provide concierge service to customers that want to get the cheapest electricity.
So, Gideon, let me stop you there for a second. A deregulation, that's a term that many of our listeners might not be familiar with. Rob, do you mind explaining what deregulation means for the consumers out there?
Sure. So I believe there's about 19 states across the country where instead of having a single energy provider that might be regulated and might be limited in what they can charge, you potentially have dozens of energy providers and potentially more offers. In Illinois, last I checked, there's 29 energy providers and about 70 different offers. So if you're a consumer in Illinois, like my parents and my sister are, you have this smorgasbord of offers that you can choose, and you can get low prices, you can get some fixed costs, some variable costs, you can get some portion of your energy renewable.
So and low prices, once again, we're being joined by the founders of Energy Simply on Get Down to Business. Low prices, what are we talking about, Jordan? What kind of savings can some of the consumers that might be listening to the show come to expect?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been helping a number of customers in Illinois, and we're seeing anywhere between, you know, 10 and 25% savings. And a lot of it just depends on where you live, what your usage is, do you have a large house, do you have a small house, and just timing. But, you know, we're finding that, you know, pretty much almost every customer, we can definitely get them in 5 to 10% saving situation, or we can just help them navigate and get them renewable energy for, you know, almost the same price or sometimes a little less than what they'd pay otherwise for general conventional energy.
So when I, on my cell phone plan, if I decided to change plans, I'd be hit with a large early termination fee. Rob, what does that mean for energy? If I decide to go with energy simply, does that mean that I'm going to be hit with fees and perhaps get stuck in a very, very long-term contract?
Not necessarily. In fact, energy simply looks at your current plan as well as all the potential plans you could move to. And based on your energy usage modeled for you personally, we can find the cheapest plan for you, taking into account if you have some sort of fee where it might be cheaper for you to stay with your current plan and then switch to something else when that fee decreases or when that fee is gone.
So great explanation, and that makes the process so much more, shall I say, demystified. But Gideon, let's be blunt. There's a lot of options out there. Why Energy Simply? Why are you guys better than any of the other companies that are out there that can potentially help consumers save money?
Well, here's how we're different. There's a couple of other companies out there. There's lots offering electricity plans. There's a couple of other companies out there that may contact you as a consumer and say, hey, we'll find you the cheapest. But the difference between us and all of our competitors is that we're the only one that is 100% consumer-oriented. So we never take a kickback. We never get any type of fee from the energy company to try to put the consumer in a plan that's not the right fit for them.
Interesting. So once again, I guess the reason we've got you on is because we love talking to people that are living the entrepreneurial story, folks that have an idea. And as you said, three AEPi brothers that came up with an idea together and you're making things happen. And that's the formation, the founding of Energy Simply. And we've got Gideon, Jordan, and Rob on the line with me over here. So Jordan, what's the next year going to look like? What's the big picture plan for Energy Simply?
Yeah, so in the next year, we're really looking to accelerate our growth. But what we found that works for us is really a grassroots targeted model. People are looking for, a group of people they can trust. So we're doing a lot of, digital marketing. We're talking directly to people, direct mail, and clearly still reaching out to friends and family and referrals. But, over the next year, we're looking to really accelerate our growth, really make sort of a dent. I mean, we're talking about an area here where we believe that there are people in the state of Illinois that, all in all could be saving over $200 million over what they're paying on their electricity. And that's money that's going to power companies that should be staying in people's pockets. And we want to try to help them get that.
That's big money. As you said, helping people save money. And that's one of the things that this show is all about. A lot of people don't know how they can be doing things differently, and they just take things for granted, and they just do things a certain way. So, Gideon, which states are deregulated? Which states can people talk to Energy Simply and potentially save money?
There's a number of states, but right now the two that we've focused mostly on are Illinois and Texas. Illinois and Texas were fairly early adopters of deregulation, and so we found that we're able to save people. Our value proposition is just much higher in those two states. And so you can find out more at our website about different states that are deregulated and what our offerings are in Texas and Illinois.
Well, everything's bigger in Texas, so you've got your work cut out for you.
Absolutely.
Including the savings.
We've got all kinds of information.
There we go. Savings, too. So, Rob, can you tell us, our listeners that may have missed the website early on, how people can contact you through the website? Is there social media that people can check out?
Yes, absolutely. So our website is energysimp.ly, and we also have a phone number up there that your listeners can call if they'd like to speak with one of our energy concierges. You can just go to our website, enter your zip code, and you can find out if your state is deregulated and if Energy Simply offers service for you. You can also follow us on Twitter at EnergySimplyUSA, and we're also on Facebook and LinkedIn if you just search for Energy Simply.
Awesome. Well, once again, I have a feeling we'll be talking to you a lot more over the coming months as we continue to follow the story of a new business that's being formed, new business that's growing, making a difference here in Illinois. Texas, helping helping folks save money. Once again, talking to Rob, Jordan, and Gideon of Energy Simply, a company that can help you save money. And everybody listening to this show right now is using electricity, so everybody's a good fit for Energy Simply. Check out the website, energysimp.ly. And you'll be able to get a hold of, as Rob just said, a concierge that will be able to walk you through the process. After the break, we're going to be talking with a candidate for alderman in Chicago's 2nd Ward. That's Cornell Wilson. He's sitting here with me in studio right now. And you won't want to miss a minute of it. As I mentioned, at the end of the show, we're going to be talking about ways that you can improve your meeting agenda setting. You won't want to miss that. You could call in with your questions for Cornell after the break at 312-642-5600. Rob, Jordan, Gideon, thanks for joining us on the air. We'll check back in with you and continue to follow the process. You're listening to Get Down to Business. I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Don't touch that dial.
How can you get from here to there? We've got
the music of the United States Marines, and that's because I've got candidate for alderman of the 2nd Ward of the City of Chicago, Cornell Wilson, here with me in studio. Cornell, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I didn't know you guys were actually be able to pull that off.
We can do anything over here. George can do anything over here, as I've discovered. So, Cornell, you're an attorney, you're a community advocate, a decorated veteran of the United States Marine Corps. What in the world possessed you to run for alderman?
I love this city. I'll be honest, I wasn't born here. I was born in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. My dad was on active duty at the time. And I would later on join the Marine Corps, become an attorney, and what brought me to the city when I left active duty was Northwestern Law School. I fell in love with the city and decided to make it my home, and I want to work hard on behalf of the residents here of the city.
So you're running for alderman in the 2nd Ward. Where is the 2nd Ward?
Yes, sir. It is the new 2nd Ward. It was made after the 2010 census, and the map was enacted approximately in 2012. And so now it is a lovely-looking map, which will...
For those of you that are not joining us here in studio, Cornell is jumping up and down, trying to motion right and left and up and down, and it's looking kind of silly because that's how the ward looks.
It extends from the lakefront in Streeterville, through Gold Coast, through Old Town, through a little bit of Lincoln Park, through the North Avenue, Clybourne Corridor, up there past Micklesteel, around Wicker Park, and down to Ukrainian Village.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting borders. So very diverse ward, mm-hmm. Lots of different needs. So when we talk about needs, what you hope to bring to the table as alderman is to hopefully address each community that you will hopefully one day represent their concerns. Tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing.
Precisely. I think the hard part for this ward is you do have approximately three distinct areas. You have the east side of the ward, which is more high rises. It's over there, the Hancock Building. And like I said, the Gold Coast area. You have the far west side of the ward, which is more three, four story homes around Wicker Park, Ukrainian Village. And then you have that central corridor, which is part of the planned manufacturing district. And I think you have to definitely reach out to every community group out there and understand what their needs are on sometimes a block by block basis. Because the ward is so diverse and it is so unique, it really is in many ways a microcosm of the city. And I want to start there, understanding each of their concerns, whether it's the east side, East Village Association, which has some great leadership, and they've definitely informed me about some of the issues they face and what they want for the identity of their community, whether it's a central portion of the ward or whether it's North Branch Works, which has mapped out a plan for developing and improving that central corridor, or the groups on the east side, North Dearborn Association, or any of those other groups out there that want to shape their ward and make sure it's the best it can be.
So you're getting a lot of support in the race for alderman. I believe you've had Jesse White join you at an event.
I have. I've been very, very lucky and blessed even because the elected officials that I've met along the way, I didn't know them. I didn't work for them. I met them and told them about my vision for the ward, told them about my background, and it may have taken one or two or three more meetings, but they recognize that I have a love for service as reflected in my time in the Marine Corps, and that hopefully I'll bring a new type of leadership to the city, and they decided to support me.
When is the election?
The election is February 24th, so plenty of time.
And is the deadline for voter registration, has that passed?
No, it has not. Early voting begins February 9th.
February 9th. Okay, so the election's coming up, and what sort of things are you doing on the campaign trail?
The sort of things we're doing just like this, coming here to great radio stations, great radio shows, and we are engaging in social media. We're the first campaign to have the full social media suite, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, a website, Instagram, all that stuff. And I have interns who taught me how to tweet. We're going out there knocking door to door. We're standing on street corners, at bus stops, meeting people. And it really is about relationships. I go to all the different organizations, whether it's I meet with members of my church, with this Fourth Presbyterian. I've been lucky to meet with other groups like Rabbi Limmer at Chicago Sinai. I met with Rabbi Moskowitz at Bucktown Chabad. And they have definitely informed me about the issues they see from their perspective and helped me become more culturally sensitive to other our religious issues and interests.
And you live in the ward?
Yes, I live at Dearborn and Elm, 1130 North Dearborn. You can find me any given night there and come say hi.
So what do you think are going to be the hot topics in the next term of the Chicago City Council? What do you hope to champion as a major issue should you be elected as a city councilman?
Well, you could go down any list, and I think the topics would be very diverse from ward to ward. We were the first campaign, thus far the only campaign that I know of that took a comprehensive poll of the ward and seeking out our constituents' issues. The first issue we saw, which is kind of linked, the first two, was crime and gun violence. And I know that this was late summer, but that pointed to us that the ward is concerned about safety. Whether it's gun shooting or simple vandalism, the citizens of our ward want to be safe. They want to ensure that the rest of Chicago is safe and the crime isn't spreading to the ward. And so I want to champion and make sure that I'm working with our fellow legislators, with the police officers, with the district commanders, the three different district commanders that cover the ward, and ensure that they're doing everything we can to stem the flow of crime and make sure we're keeping everyone safe.
So it sounds like more than anything, you're listening to the concerns. You're trying to hear what are the issues that matter.
Exactly. Exactly. And because we all know the big issues, we know that there's a pension crisis. We know that we have to figure out a way to get Chicago's budget in line and make sure we are fiscally solvent for the future. And that no one alderman can tackle that. It's going to take all 50 of us working together. It's going to take the mayor working with us, and we have to figure out how to solve that problem. But my ward comes first, but I definitely want to work on behalf of Chicago and the larger city.
So most of our listeners probably know somebody that lives in the second ward. And Cornell, as I mentioned, sort of drew us a map. He said it over here, but it's a rather funky area. And you're meeting with a lot of those community leaders. But are you looking for volunteers? Are you looking for people to help you walk door to door?
Every day. We have a fantastic group of friends, family, people I randomly meet in the street who decide to join up. But we would always love more volunteers. They can find out more information about me, the campaign, and the things we've been doing thus far on CornellWilson.com, at Cornell with two L's. And they can find me on at Team Cornell Wilson on Twitter, at Friends of Cornell Wilson on Facebook, and contact me at cornell@cornellwilson.com. That you can email me there multiple ways.
And I know you're tough because you were in the Marines, but are you really prepared for Chicago politics?
You know, everyone tells me it's going to get worse. I hope it doesn't. It may, but we have a fantastic group of candidates running for the second ward. You won't hear anything ill out of my mouth about any of them because I want to run a positive race. I want to separate this round of politics from Chicago's past and just let the facts speak for themselves. When people look at the candidates in this race, we have one of the most comprehensive campaigns. Be the first to tell you we're not the richest, but we will listen, we will be there, we'll be advocates, and we will put forth the best campaign, and we will hold our integrity high at the end of the day.
So once again, we're talking with Cornell Wilson, who is running for Chicago's second ward alderman. That's the open seat, because Bob Fioretti, who currently represents the ward, is now running for mayor. which means that there are now how many candidates running for the seat?
There are six candidates
six
running for
candidates.
The seat. The first time to see all of us, I think, or the second time, I should say, will be Wicker Park Committee is hosting a forum for first and second ward, and that'll be on January 7th.
Okay, so once again, talking with Cornell Wilson. Cornell, once again, how can people get in touch? What's your website?
CornellWilson.com. Come find me. Email me personally, Cornell@CornellWilson. That is my email, and I will respond as soon as I can.
Okay, fantastic. Cornell, good luck out there. We'll continue to follow your progress, and there's a lot of issues facing the city of Chicago, and you're running around and, most importantly, listening to those concerns. This show is all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship, and those are concerns that affect every area of Chicago, but certainly the oddly shaped second ward and a very, very, very important ward for the city of Chicago, as you mentioned, representing the Hancock Building and a lot of those areas in the city of Chicago. So check out CornellWilson.com. That's two L's.
Yes, sir.
And after the break, we're going to be talking with Chris Everett, who's going to be talking to us a little bit more about finance. And I've got Chaim Shapiro, who's going to be talking about how to improve your LinkedIn profile. And at the end of the show, as promised, I'm going to be talking about agenda setting for meetings. You won't want to miss a minute of it. Get Down to Business is powered by Tandem HR, your solution center. You can find them at tandemhr.com or call 630-928-0510. You can also email them, simplify@tandemhr.com. Don't miss a minute of the show every week. Sunday at 6 p.m., the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship.
It was to house the way we prepare your food. Visit tastycatering.com for more information. Or contact a Tasty Catering sales representative and set up a time to come meet with us at our home. You can't put a price on peace of mind, but if you had to, all it takes is one visit. Call 847-593-2000, 847-593-2000, or start your visit through our open doors at tastycatering.com.
We've been talking about it. We've been planning for it. We're in 2015, and that means we're just, I guess, a few days older, but we're past another year. That's why we've got Chris Everett on the show. Chris Everett from Everett Wealth Solutions joining us to kick off the year to hopefully make better financial decisions. Chris, welcome to the show. What advice do you have for us today?
Well, Happy New Year, Shalom. Thanks for having me on today. It's all about financial balance. When you think about going into your new year, what are you really thinking about in terms of getting to financial balance? So by that I mean, you know, it's one thing to put money away into your 401k plan, and you absolutely should be doing that. Do it up to your employer match. Once you hit that employer match, please save outside of your 401k plan and put money into a place where you can have liquidity, use, and control over that money. You'd be surprised how many people get into financial imbalance or turmoil or, can I say, financial hell simply because they have too much money outside of where they can easily access it. And then they'll go into interrupting the compounding into their 401k when they get into trouble. One of the worst things that you can do is interrupt the incredible compounding that can happen inside of your 401k or any financial asset for that matter. Does that make sense to you?
It does, and that hopefully will be many of our listeners' New Year's resolution as they kick off 2015. It's another year, and there's probably many opportunities now for employees to talk to their employers about what plans might be available and what options they have. And in my opinion, if there's a plan available, it's free money, and if you're able to get an employer match. Chris, what do you think?
Absolutely, and that's why I say put money into your 401k up to the employer match so you don't leave any money on the table. But please do not discount liquidity, use, and control of your money. Now, for those of you that have a 401k, find out if your employer is offering a Roth option. And by diverting all of your contribution into a Roth 401k, you won't get any tax deduction. But keep in mind, if your employer is doing a match, they'll be doing so on a pre-tax basis. So if you're just starting your career and you put all of your contributions into a Roth, knowing that the equal amount is going into a pre-tax regular 401k, when you get out to retirement, you'll have pots, some that will already have been taxed and some that will not be. So it gives you some choice. It gives you some flexibility when you get out to retirement. Think of it this way. There are many people retiring today, and all of their money is in a pre-tax plan. They have no options. So every resource that they have for retirement is going to be a taxable resource. So it's all about financial balance.
It sure is. And many employees that might be listening to the show, again, there might be a partially employer-funded plan. How involved do you think people should be in looking into where is the investment going? What possible outcomes will there be? Or do you suggest people sort of go with the flow and let it happen on its own?
Well, I'm not going to say that. You know, you really should take a look at your money. Now, there are many tools that help you to kind of stay a distance if you're not someone who can actually look at it all the time. There's many targeted retirement funds. So if you're going to be retiring in 20, 30, 40, 50, 55, whatever it is, you can choose a targeted retirement fund that does a lot of the money management for you. So that's something to consider. But whether you're putting the money into a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k, you have the same investment choices, typically.
Chris, many of our listeners might not be familiar with what is a Roth IRA. Does your website have that information, a sort of dictionary of sorts to help demystify the process?
Absolutely does. That's EverettWealthSolutions.com. And there's plenty of resources there. There's Money School videos. There's an entire arsenal, library, if you will, of information on all of these accounts. But simply said, a Roth IRA means that you're not taking any tax deduction. You're saving the money on an after-tax basis, just like you would put money in a savings account. But if you put it into a Roth IRA, as the account grows over time, as long as it's been in there for 5 years, when you go to take it out, the money can come out tax-free. So you could really be building a large arsenal for yourself over time. But don't interrupt those savings. Whether it's Roth IRA, Roth 401k, or 401k, allow the money to grow. Do anything else but interrupting the flow of the compounding. And it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars to you over your lifetime.
Well, many of our listeners, again, are not that familiar with the process, and that's why you need to talk to a professional at Everett Wealth Solutions. Get Down to Business is brought to you in part by Everett Wealth Solutions. Our good friend Chris Everett, you just heard from her. She's a registered investment advisor and financial planning firm, a fiduciary advisor that helps you create your personal wealth. Chris, what's that website again?
EverettWealthSolutions.com.
And your phone number?
708-771-7777.
That's the easiest phone number, 708-771-7777. So don't let the phone number be an excuse for not calling Everett Wealth Solutions. That number is 708-771-7777. Chris, thanks for joining us and Get Down to Business, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
After the break, we're talking with Chaim Shapiro with advice on how you can improve your LinkedIn profile. You won't want to miss this segment. You're listening to Get Down to Business.
Possible. For the most valuable, high-quality catering in the area, Chicago chooses Tasty Catering. View menus and more when you visit tastycatering.com.
So I mentioned that electricity might be the only thing that our listeners all use, but hopefully there's another thing, LinkedIn. That's why I've got my friend Chaim Shapiro on the phone with me. Chaim, welcome to Get Down to Business.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm actually happy to see that the Detroit football game just ended now, so hopefully everybody will switch over and listen to the show.
Good timing. So LinkedIn 101. LinkedIn is something, again, every professional should have. That goes without saying. That's what I can say. But many of us are not experts in LinkedIn. Chaim, tell us how LinkedIn has helped you.
Well, for me personally, LinkedIn, I think I guessed kind of early, about 2007, when I first got onto LinkedIn, I realized it was going to be huge. And since then, I've been dedicating a lot of time to learning the ins and outs of how to use it, and been advising clients and other people, giving workshops on the appropriate use of LinkedIn. One of the biggest mistakes I see with LinkedIn is people think that there is what I've heard referred to as a LinkedIn fairy, that as soon as you get on LinkedIn, all of a sudden your jobs will come, your connections will come, you'll have incredible business options that otherwise were not there. But in essence, in order for anything to work that's worthwhile, it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes a strategy.
So how do you get found on LinkedIn?
How do you get found on LinkedIn? Well, the first thing you need practically is to have a winning LinkedIn profile, because everything starts with the profile. Until you have a profile that you want people to find and actually portrays your message and your brand, you're really not giving anybody anything of note. So if I could talk a little bit about some of the primary things you want to do in order to make sure that you have an appropriate LinkedIn profile.
Please, tell us those tips and tricks that we've been waiting for.
Well, the first thing to start, when you take a look at your LinkedIn profile, you just want to put your name in the name line. That sounds obvious, but a lot of people put other things in there, which is actually against the user agreement for LinkedIn. So just your name, potentially you can put, if you have a degree, MBA, MED in there, but the name is what I would start out with. Biggest mistakes I see on LinkedIn is people will put a picture of their company logo or a picture from a wedding, a picture of a family as their profile picture. Put a professional headshot picture there. It is incredibly valuable for you to put something there that represents your brand, that represents who you are professionally. Because I'm going to talk about one other thing, which is called the headline. It's going to show up everywhere you show up on LinkedIn. Professional headshot is exceptionally important. I think it's worthwhile for people who want to use LinkedIn to actually go and get a professional headshot taken specifically for LinkedIn if they don't have one currently.
And something a lot of people don't realize is that when everybody is Googled, whether it's for a job, for your business, everybody's name is Googled. And often it's the LinkedIn result that's showing up at the very, very top.
And there's actually a couple of reasons for that. LinkedIn actually shows up very, very high in the Google rankings. And one of the things you can actually do in order to make sure that you show up more frequently in those Google rankings, now a name like Chaim Shapiro is not that much of a problem because there aren't that many competing names. If there are other similar names, one of the things you can do is actually use your LinkedIn URL and post that in different places across the internet, on Twitter and Facebook and blog posts, and that will actually trick Google into shooting your Google ranking up so that you actually show up first.
So, Chaim, so far we spoke about how to get found, but let's go on the other side of that. How do you identify and engage the right people, perhaps job prospects or potential clients?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the first things that I'm looking for, again, it really depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for passive talent because you're a recruiter, one of the things I always tell people not to look for, if somebody puts in their profile that they're looking for a job opportunity, that gets passed up. I always say it's like the equivalent of saying that you're looking for a date on Facebook. So it's not seen appropriate. It's not seen as positive, seen as, well, if this person is very positive, there would be no need for him or her to really express the fact that they're looking.
Using the advanced tools, search tools on LinkedIn, you're able to find a lot of fantastic people, people that meet your criteria, again, whether you're recruiting and trying to hire somebody or whether you're, again, you're trying to find somebody that meets the profile of your ideal client.
Actually, a couple great points about that. First of all, you can actually set up specific alerts. So when you find those search terms that are actually giving you the kind of results that you want, you can actually set it up on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn will send you a message whenever somebody matches that. So you don't even necessarily need to check it on a daily or weekly basis. It'll actually forward those names to you on a weekly basis. The idea is that you really need to put in the time and the effort to find the search terms that are getting the kind of people that you want. I was working for a recruiter, and we're searching for people who work with ultra-high net worth clientele. And it took me a week or two to really find the search criteria that the people that he was looking for were using to describe their profiles. Once I found that, it was a piece of cake.
Well, it goes without saying that LinkedIn is a necessity for any professional out there. And, of course, just to have the profile, but as Chaim Shapiro, our guest on Get Down to Business, is telling us, is do it right. Do it right. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just sort of dump some information on there, because it can be a game changer for you. It can change your career. It can change your business. And that's why we're doing a LinkedIn 101 seminar coming up in just a few weeks, Chaim. It's on January 20th. It's a Tuesday in Skokie. And you can check out my website, shalomkline.com, to download podcasts from the show, but also register for that event. Chaim, what sort of information can our listeners look forward to?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure it warms up before I actually come in from New York for that event, because I hear next week is going to be very, very cold. But being a Chicagoan myself, I'm kind of used to it, but I'm hoping it warms up a little bit. But basically, for that particular workshop, we're going to do a deep dive on what you need to do in order to get a winning profile. And by a winning profile, I mean a profile that gets you noticed. And by the way, when you reach out to somebody else because you're looking to engage them as a recruiter or as a business contact or potentially for some kind of business relationship, they're going to be checking your profile as well.
They sure will. And we actually have over 50 people registered for that seminar, and the seats are running out quickly. So you want to register again, shalomkline.com, and you can register for the LinkedIn 101 seminar presented by Chaim Shapiro. Chaim, we're slowly running out of time, just about 30 seconds remaining. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, my website, ChaimShapiro.com. I know that's hard to spell, but it's ChaimShapiro.com. And, of course, on LinkedIn.
Of course, on LinkedIn. And you can reach out to Chaim, ChaimShapiro.com, ChaimShapiro.com. And you could get in touch with Chaim before the seminar. Again, that seminar is taking place on January 20th, 6 p.m. in Skokie. You don't want to miss it. The seats are running out quickly. We're going to teach you everything you need to know about LinkedIn. Chaim, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much.
We'll be sure to have you back. LinkedIn is so important. We'll be continuing that discussion. After the break, I'm going to be sharing tips for agenda setting, appointment setting. You're listening to Get Down to Business. I'm your host, Shalom Klein, the show all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship.
I'm Pete Sec-
You can find out about all of my events at ShalomKline.com. That's also the site where you can register for the LinkedIn seminar coming up on January 20th with Chaim Shapiro. Great advice on LinkedIn, by the way. Now it's time for your business tip of the week, which can be heard daily on the Big John and Amy Show at 7:30 a.m. right here on AM 560, The Answer. No matter what business you're in, the odds are that you're like me and you spend a lot of time, or at least some time, in appointments. Your appointments might be big group meetings, one-on-ones, or even job interviews. You may even be skipping the face-to-face aspect of the meeting and be taking conference calls or using Skype. No matter what type of meeting you scheduled, though, these tips can help you improve your appointment-setting skills. Set agendas ahead of time. Knowing what you plan to accomplish in a meeting can help you decide how long to stay at that appointment, assuming you could keep to your agenda. It can be hard to get other people to stay on track, but no one really wants to spend all day in a single appointment. Furthermore, completing an agreed-upon agenda is really the only way to be sure when your meeting is over. Offer time and date options for appointments. Rather than going through a lengthy back and forth, either on the phone or via email, pick two or three appointment times that work for you and present them to the other half of your appointment. If you're dealing with a larger group, it's almost guaranteed that at least one option won't work for someone, and having multiple options is a much faster way to reach consensus. Avoid fancy software applications. While there's some very snazzy appointment setting software out there, try to avoid using anything out of the ordinary. The exception to the rule is parties or very large meetings. In general, using these applications take more time than they're worth. There's a learning curve for new users, and having to visit a site to respond can take double the time of replying to an email. However, when you're trying to coordinate large groups of people, using an application can provide a central location rather than sending out huge batches of email. Make sure you really need a meeting. This goes without saying. Plenty of appointments are set for simple things like handing over a document for approval. Unless that document is short enough to be completely examined during the meeting, it might be more worthwhile to drop off the document and come back later to answer questions and handle the approval process. Before actually setting your appointment, think about whether the matter could be handled a better way. Minimize travel time. One of the reasons that appointments eat up so much time in our calendars is the necessity of travel. We have to travel to clients' offices, coffee shops, or wherever the heck we're meeting. We can minimize that commitment by suggesting we meet at our own locations, meet halfway, or skip meeting in person altogether. Options like telephone calls or video conferencing can often handle all the requirements of that appointment you are going to drive across town for. Schedule time for both preparation and debriefing. When you set your appointment, think about what you might need to prepare for it. Review a report, prepare a presentation, or iron your shirt, and schedule time for each of those activities before your actual appointment. It's also worthwhile to schedule a 15-minute prep session just before your appointment for any last-minute details. Same goes for afterwards. You may have certain follow-up tasks to handle after your meeting. Scheduling at least a few minutes after an appointment guarantees that you'll have time to make sure your notes are complete and any sort of further action at least makes it onto your calendar. Separate personal and business appointments. Many of us try to load all of our out-of-office appointments into one day, ignoring the problems of what happens if just one runs late. You've got the issue of trying to switch gears between the presentation you just gave to a client and shot the doctor's waiting to give you. That sort of mental switch-up can only make it harder to handle your later appointments. Try to schedule your personal and business appointments on different days. And finally, limit invitees. You might not need the whole company present for a progress report. Instead, decide who actually needs to be at the appointment. You can always send out a mass email later on. Confirm everything. Confirm when and where the meeting is, what the agenda covers, even how to get there. All you really need is a brief email a day or two before the appointment that outlines the appointment and asks for a simple yes in response if everything is correct. and keep your appointment schedulers handy. If you're not the only person scheduling your appointments, it's vital to keep others in the loop. Get Down to Business is brought to you in part by Everett Wealth Solutions, a registered investment advisor and financial planning firm, a fiduciary advisor that helps you create your personal wealth. You can find them at everettwealthsolutions.com. Get Down to Business is powered by Tandem HR, your solution center. You can find them at tandemhr.com or call 630-928-0510. Once again, 630-928-0510. You can also email them, simplify@tandemhr.com. It's the new year. That means it's time for you to start setting more networking events on your calendar, and you can find out about all of them and download podcasts from Get Down to Business on my website at shalomkline.com. Next week, we're going to continue the conversation about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. Every Sunday, 6 p.m., you're listening to Get Down to Business to Success. I'm looking forward to talking to you about small business next week.
For the past 100 years, RB Hayward Company has been a leader in the Chicagoland HVAC sheet metal industry.